We need to understand the reality of sin and brokenness in our lives and walk in our identity in Christ. We are simultaneously righteous yet sinner. Welcome to the Broken Images Podcast. Welcome to the first episode of the Broken Images Podcast. And I thought it'd be fitting today to talk about this idea of broken but not abandoned. This idea of that we are broken images. And if you don't know who I am, my name is Ry Paulson. I am the host of the Broken Images Podcast. It was formerly the Never Ending Story Podcast with people on it telling me about their sharing their testimonies, how God has been gracious in their lives. And while we'll still do testimonies, we're going to do lots of other things. We're going to be doing devotionals that'll come out pretty frequently throughout the week. Going to be talking about different questions that people have. Going to have an episode with John Siebert every week talking about a Sunday service and culture and theology and what we're learning and different stuff like that. We got lots of stuff coming for you. But enough of that. I want to tell you guys a story. There was a man named Bill, and Bill really liked to play racquetball. He decided that he wanted to give a new sport a try, and he decided, you know what, let's give racquetball a try. Within several months of playing, he was beating most of his friends, and he was kind of destroying them, actually. He really enjoyed it. He was having a lot of fun, playing 4 to 5 times a week. He thought he was pretty good, and honestly, he probably was, at least in his own eyes. One day, he saw a poster at the club where he played of a tournament. And the tournament had 3 levels. Level C being for recreational players, just beginning, basically. Level B for intermediate, like they're kind of good, just not the best. And level A for those that took racquetball very, very seriously. For those people that were not like pros, but like they were dang good. And as he was standing there, he was pondering his skills, thinking which level should he sign up for. An older gentleman came up to him. "Are you thinking about joining the tournament?" he asked this guy. He could tell that the man was sizing him up, trying to figure out how good of a player he might be. This guy was doing the same, and honestly, Bill was not impressed. The man had a pot belly, he was short, he had stubby arms, he didn't have much reach, which is something that's apparently very important in racquetball. The man told Bill that he played at the C level the year before and came in 10th place. And he actually like sounded proud of it, which Bill, he thought that was crazy. He said that he tried to keep from laughing and that if he come in 10th place at the C level, he wouldn't have told anybody, not even a soul. Eventually, the guy invited Bill to play and he said yes, thinking this is a great opportunity to see how he measured up to others. After he saw how hard it would be to beat this guy, he would have a good sense whether he should be in the A level or the B level. So Bill's at this point thinking he's pretty good. He's gonna be at this higher level and be competing. In 7 minutes, this older pot-bellied guy beat Bill 21-0. Bill had never played someone so good. They went to the shower room to change. The older man was getting ready to leave. He didn't have to shower since he didn't even break a sweat in the short game that they played. And Bill asked him, like, how well would a C-level champion do against an average level B guy? And he's like, no contest. And same goes for a C-level champion or a B-level champion to the A-level average guy. It wouldn't even be a contest. They wouldn't even score a point. But was sad. But more than that, he realized just how deceived he had been. He thought that he was really, really good at racquetball. He thought he might be A-level material, but now he wasn't even competitive at the worst level of the tournament. He was so deceived about his abilities, and he vastly overestimated his racquetball skills. And here's the thing that I want to pull from that story. Is we greatly overestimate how good we are, and therefore we don't fully understand who we are in Christ. If you were to go around and ask people this question, do you believe that you or mankind is generally or inherently good, what would their response be? For most people that you would talk to, the answer is probably, yeah, I believe I'm a good person. I believe most people are good people. Then they'll give you the usual list of why they think that to be true. They're nice. They're kind. They help people. They don't lie, cheat, steal. They don't do anything inherently evil, whatever that means. Like, yeah, I get it. That's good. Awesome. I'm really happy for you that you don't lie, cheat, steal. You help people. You're a nice person. But does that make you inherently good? It doesn't, because we have to understand our basis of good. And where does that basis come from? It comes from God. We see a story in the Gospels where Jesus encounters a young rich ruler. And the young rich ruler comes up to Jesus. He says, "Good teacher, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life?" And just a side note, this young rich ruler immediately makes a mistake. He says, "What do I have to do?" And obviously we know that we don't have to do anything to save ourselves. We can't. We're saved by grace through faith, not by our own works. But Jesus responds, he says, "Why do you call me good? Only God is good. Only God." And I tend to speak on this idea a lot about brokenness and sinfulness, not being good. It's something that I love talking about, which is almost like depressing in a way, because sin and brokenness sucks. But the question I get asked the most when I talk about this idea of brokenness and understanding your brokenness and sin is, what about the image of God? Because the image of God is a good thing. Like, God created us. He said it was good. And yeah, that's very true. The image of God is inside of us. Everybody that's born is created in the image of God. And that's a very, very good thing. God created us to be good, to bear his image. In Genesis 3, something happened. When Adam and Eve sinned, when we inherited that sin through Adam, we shattered that image. We were image bearers, but that image is broken. It's not an accurate reflection of Christ, of God. That's why we are broken images. It's a broken and tainted reflection of God. So here's the deal. I am broken. You are broken. We all are broken. But we have not been abandoned. We have to understand our brokenness first in order to live into our new identity that we have been given in Christ. The basis for this idea is found in Ephesians 2, verses 12 and 13. Paul says, "Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you were once far off and you have been brought near by the blood of Christ." What is Paul telling us here? He's talking to the church at Ephesus. He's talking to Gentiles, the Gentile church. It is telling us that we need to remember our past. We need to remember who we once were and remember an aspect of ourselves that is still kind of present in our lives. Paul is saying, before you were in Christ, before you had Jesus in your life, you were without light, without spiritual blessing, without peace, without rest, without life, without hope, without safety, without him. You're Christless, stateless, friendless, hopeless, and godless. That's not a very good list. To make matters worse, let's talk about this other stuff that the Bible says about us before we were in Christ. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, we're dead, doomed, and disobedient. Romans 5, inherently sinful, passed through the seed of Adam. Jeremiah says the heart is deceitful above all else. Romans 3, 10 through 12 says no one is righteous or good. You get the idea, right? Paul, even as a Christian, as he's a follower of Jesus, considers himself the chief of all sinners. Paul says, remember who you were before Christ. We need to remember that. But why? Why do we need to remember who we were before Christ and remember an aspect of ourselves that's still present in our current reality? One, to understand what God has done for us in giving us a new identity. And two, to combat what the world tells us about who we are. So let's briefly talk about it. Let's see what the world and culture will say about our brokenness and identity. Our culture would say that we're not inherently bad. There was a survey that was sent out and asked the question if people are inherently good or bad. 83% of people say that people are naturally, inherently good. That's a lot of people that believe that they're good people. Oftentimes people will say, you're not broken, you're not bad, you're not sinful, you just make mistakes. And this is coming from people that are so-called pastors. And that's what Joel Osteen said years ago on Oprah. He's like, people aren't bad people. They just make mistakes. Here's a side note. If your pastor's teaching is approved by Oprah, you might want to consider what your pastor is teaching. Our culture minimizes our sin. It's no longer choosing your own way and disobeying a holy and righteous king, but it's, you messed up, it's okay, you're a good person. Like, go you, you're a good person. That is just a little mistake you made. There's almost no accountability with sin unless it's like a big sin. Racism, rape, murder, you get the idea. If you do these things, then they're not good. They aren't good people, but me, I'm not that bad. They'll often say, you're not broken, you just make mistakes. And I always find that so interesting that there's a huge emphasis on mistakes. Think about a mistake and a sin. Two separate things most of the time. Every time you sin, you're clearly making a mistake. But every time you make a mistake, you aren't necessarily sinning. For instance, here's a mistake. I grab milk out of my fridge, a carton of milk out of my fridge. I drop it and it spills everywhere. I made a mistake. I didn't sin in any way. But say I take that same carton of milk, I pull it out of the fridge, and I throw it at my 6-year-old brother, hit him in the head with it. That would be a sin. I would be like abusing my brother. That would be bad. A sin is a choice to choose your way over God's way. Sin is pride. So when we're sinning, it's not just, oh, I made a mistake. Oops, my bad. No, it's like you chose your own way over the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But what does culture say about our identity? You will hear a lot of I am statements, and I'm not talking about the I am statements that Jesus says about himself. I'm talking about these false identity statements saying I am good, I am healthy, I am strong, I am powerful, I am secure, I'm beautiful, I'm confident, I'm worthy, I'm amazing, I deserve blessings, I am who I am. In our culture today, people say you cannot tell them what they are or who they are. Worldly identity is wrapped up in what people think about themselves. It's also wrapped up in what we do, not about something else, which is Christ. According to the world, our identity is all about what we think about ourselves, and whatever we want to be, we can be. It's really dangerous. It's dangerous to live in a culture of name it and claim it. If you want to be this, claim it. Be that. Live your truth. That's very scary. That you can just be whoever you want to be. It's your decision. We also place our identity in things that we do. In actions that we make. In our works. Sports, music, parenting, girlfriend, boyfriend, good student, writer, friend, brother, sister. You get it. Right? I do this, therefore I am this. And it makes, honestly, no sense. Because what happens when you stop doing that thing? Then your identity is completely shot. It completely just washes away. My freshman year of college, I played basketball. I had the opportunity to play college basketball for a year. And I stopped playing because I wanted to pursue more full-time ministry. if my identity, this is not to toot my own horn because I have a lot of sin in my life. I'm just a messed up person just like everybody else. But if I would have had my identity in basketball, if I would have been like, I'm a basketball player, that's my identity. When I quit, I would have lost all hope. I would be in a terrible place, depressed and heartbroken because my identity would have been gone. But since it wasn't in basketball, it's been in Christ for the most part, because I'm not perfect. I place my identity in false things and have to repent for those things. But at that moment, I wasn't heartbroken because my identity was found in Christ, not in being a basketball player. So to recap, culture says, name it and claim it. Be whoever you feel like you want to be. Live your truth. What you do is who you are. You're not that bad. Woohoo! No. That's the exact opposite of what the word says. That's not our identity at all. We have to remember our past identity. Doomed, dead, disobedient, all those ones we had described. But let me remind you about your true identity in Christ. Your actual identity. And here's a disclaimer. These statements I'm going to read, they're for people that are Christians. People that consider Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So, we are a friend of Jesus. We are children of God. We are a new creation in Christ. We are a holy royal priesthood. We are God's workmanship. We are ambassadors of Christ. We are image bearers. That is for everybody. Everybody born is an image bearer. We are reconciled to God. We are more than conquerors. We are witness for Christ. We are light of the world. We're co-heirs with Christ. We're alive in Christ. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. We're members of Christ's body. We have been crucified with Christ. We're redeemed, forgiven, and blameless. That's our identity in Christ. That is who we are. No longer dead, doomed, and disobedient, but saved, alive, and a son or daughter. What does this mean for us, though? Why do I tell you this information about what God says and what culture says about identity and brokenness? Why? Because you have to understand both. You have to understand your brokenness, and you have to understand your identity, because they have equal importance in your walk with Christ. And so I've come up with statements that I believe are helpful to have a certain amount of humility in who you are in the current reality of your sin and brokenness, and then walking in the current amazing truth of your identity in Christ. These are these statements. I am broken, but you did not abandon me. I am broken, but you're making me new. I was dead, but now I'm alive. My heart was stone, but you made it flesh. I am sinful, but I have no condemnation. I was lost, but now I am found. I am not good, but you were good for me. I was a son of disobedience, now I'm a son or daughter of God. I was an enemy of God, now I'm a friend of Jesus. I am a sinner, but I am reconciled. I am a sinner, but you've forgiven me. I was blind, but I see. I was in bondage, but you set me free. I am a broken, sinful, evil, wretched, not good person. But your undeserving grace and mercy continues to flow every day in my life. There has to be an acknowledgement of our past spiritual death and standing with God, current brokenness, and new identity in Christ. Because acknowledging our sinfulness and our brokenness allows us to see God's grace bigger and bigger. Because if you're not acknowledging that, you won't. We want to see Christ bigger and bigger. You will always be sinful and broken, but as you follow Jesus, you'll grow in something we call sanctification. And in that process of sanctification, you'll see Christ bigger and bigger and bigger. In fact, in Chronicles of Narnia, C.S. Lewis illustrates this idea. It had been a while since Lucy had seen Aslan. Aslan representing Jesus, if you're not familiar with the story. In the book Prince Caspian, she sees Aslan again for the first time since she had returned to Narnia, and this is the encounter that happens immediately as Lucy sees Aslan for the first time. "Aslan," said Lucy, "you're bigger." "That is because you are older, little one," answered he. "Not because you are?" "I am not. But every year you grow, you will find me bigger." As we grow, we see Christ bigger and bigger. If we do not acknowledge our deadness before and our brokenness now, then we're severely downplaying the grace of God. You are downplaying what it took to bring you from death to life. You are squashing God's grace in your life and in your story. Revelation says that we've overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. You're going to downplay your testimony if you don't acknowledge these things. "I am broken, but that's not who I am." Sounds like a huge contradiction, but it's not. You are broken, but that's not your identity. You are a broken person. I'm a broken person, but my identity is found in Christ, not my brokenness. So to close this, I want to give you two practical responses to this idea of broken images, of broken but not abandoned, all this. First is, Jesus, I need you. Simple. Realizing how dead you were and how broken you are does not mean you get to loathe in your own self-pity. Rather, you surrender yourself to an almighty, holy, perfect, good God and live in your own new identity in Christ. When I realized I was broken, it was hard. It was painful. It hurt a lot. I mean, a lot. But it also was a weight off my chest, because I realized my dependence upon God, that I needed him desperately so much every single day. Understanding your brokenness makes you realize your dependence upon Christ, that we so desperately need him. The second response is, make me holy. We're called to be like Christ, friends. In 1 Peter, it says, be holy as I am holy. It's a call to action. It's a call to live out your identity in Christ. Instead of sitting, being lazy and just not doing anything, not reading your Bible, not praying, it's a call to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You acknowledge your dependence and then go be like him. Saying, I'm a broken person, does not give you the excuse just to be like, I'm broken, let me go sin, let me be lazy, let me not do the things that Christ called me to do. No, that's not what it is. It's helping you understand the grace of God. It's helping you understand where you've come from. It's helping you realize, I need Jesus. Now let me try to be like him. And I'm going to fail, but he's going to help me. It's constantly trying to do the things of God. You will not be perfect. You will not be perfect. You are still broken. You are a broken person constantly being made whole, constantly being made new until the day of restoration or glorification. Ephesians 4:22-24 says, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. To be holy, to become holy over the course of your life, you have to put off the old self and then put on the new. Day by day by day by day, over and over again. We are broken and sinful, but we want to become more like Christ. And that comes with putting off the old and putting on the new. And here's the thing that I've learned with this. You have to put off the old self before you can put on the new. And a lot of people struggle because you're trying to wear both. You're trying to just keep on the old self and then throw the new self over and act like it won't be tainted and dirty and broken. But it will. You'll ruin the new self by trying to put it over the old self. There's a young child. Story of a young child. He's probably 6 years old. Lived in the Pacific Northwest. And It was a January or February morning, and his brothers were already playing outside. They were 10 to 12. They're playing in the mud. They're playing in the leaves. Like, they're just having a good time. Six-year-old boy comes up to his mom and dad and says, "Mom, Dad, can I go play outside with my older brothers?" And they're like, "Yes, of course. Go put on your coat." So the little boy, he goes and puts on his coat. He goes outside. He has a blast. One of the best days. He's jumping in mud puddles. He's rowing on the ground. They're playing. They're having fun. They get all muddy. Comes back inside. "Dad, I ruined my coat." Mom tells the dad, "Honey, go get our child a new coat." So the dad goes to the mall. He gets a new coat. Brand new. Nice and clean. It's awesome. When the dad gets home with the new coat, and his child is sitting there with the old coat on that's dirty and muddy and ruined, should the dad put the new coat on over the old coat? No. I mean, why would he? He would ruin the new coat too. That's what we do. We try to wear both. We can't. We have to put off the old and put on the new. Listen, my friends, we're broken people. But we're new in Christ. We have to understand our brokenness and live in our identity in Christ. I mean, as broken images, our tagline for our brand podcast is understand your reality and walk in your true identity. Because that's what we have to do. We're simultaneously righteous yet sinners. It makes no sense. But it's a reality that we live. And the only reason that we're righteous is because of the gift that Christ gave us. Remember that. As you go out throughout your days, remember your brokenness. Understand that. But walk in your identity in Christ. I hope this episode blesses you. That wraps up episode 1 of the newly improved Broken Images podcast. I hope this blesses you guys. I love you guys. Thanks for tuning in. Make sure to share with your friends. Follow us on Instagram at Broken Images, BRKN Images. We'll see you next time. Peace.